are pleased to have with us City Council Member Don Knight, who is joining us this morning, standing in for, we usually have City Council President Richard Scorman in this time of month, but as Mr. Scorman is running a re-election campaign, it was suggested that we alternate and get some of the other council voices in here. Don, thank you so much for joining us. Is this the first time that we've had you here on KRDO News Radio?
No, actually, a couple of years back, Richard and I were both on your morning show and did a little point counterpoint that was kind of fun. And then Ted had me on a couple of times. show.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Well, so then you're used to asking or being asked these tough questions. Let's start with, do you have a general comment about what happened at the nation's capital last week and what it means for, I guess, our democratic precedents and norms?
Well, it definitely was unprecedented. Everybody has a right to peaceful protest. But when you cross that line and you start attacking federal buildings, whether it's in D.C. Or whether it's in one of our other cities or capitals, that is well above the that goes beyond the bounds of what your legal rights are. You know, yesterday at City Council, we recognized two proclamations, one that was recognizing January 16th as a religious freedom day, and very educational, very interesting. And then we also recognized January 18th as Martin Luther King Day. And it was stressed at that time he was for peaceful protest. And I believe Councilwoman Avila mentioned that all his gatherings and everything. He had pulled the permits and everything else. So peaceful protest is a big difference than storming and destruction of public property.
Mm-hmm. And certainly some of these protests and then it seems like some of their reasoning stems back to, and I guess you can counter it with images in our head of some of the racial justice protests that took place over the summer, where folks were protesting racial injustice, whether it was perpetrated by systems or by police agencies. For the most part, Colorado Springs escaped any destructive nature of those protests, but we certainly saw some of those play out nationwide. Is that one of the reasons why the Colorado Springs City Council is pushing for more transparency in its police department?
Well, it stemmed from all of that. we have, excuse me, we have stood up our law enforcement transparency and accountability committee, and I was supportive of it. And this was recommended by the young people. The group was called the Peoples, and this was recommended by the young people. And the base of that was communications. And whenever you have two opposite points of view, the only way that you're going to be able to understand the other side and respect the other side is through open communications. And to me, that was the biggest thing. I think our police department has always been very transparent and looking at it. I mean, there's obviously certain things that we cannot disclose because they are personnel records involved. Are there active cases or anything else? You know, so even before this, I think our police department has been doing a great job. I forget the certification that we have, but we have a national certification of how police need to deal with the public. And we're one of you know, not every city has that. We're one of a few. But that doesn't mean we can do better. And so what we're doing here is trying to reach out. We've done other things, coffee with a cop, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, when the people come talk to us, they talked about having policemen come to the church. There was a lot of requests for, you know, police to come and speak at church services. And I think we do some of that, but if we do need to do more. So this is what we're doing here is really ensuring that we have open two-way communication between the citizens that may feel underserved and our police department.
And speaking of citizens wanting to get their voices heard, one of the issues that's come up in recent months before the city council has been that of carports, where citizens were erecting carports and then getting cited for having them too close to city streets. And that has become an issue that the city council has considered. Where do we stand on that after the most recent deliberations?
Yeah, and that deliberation was probably ran from about 6 to 8 o'clock last night. We had a very long meeting, and we did hear two appeals on the carports. Right now we have setback rules, and on one of the carports that we heard a lot of the details, you cannot put any structure in your front yard that's closer than 25 foot from the property line, and this is includes not only carports, but sheds, pergolas, et cetera. As we get a lot of hail damage here, people need to protect their cars. And not everybody has a garage or a two-car garage, in the case we heard last
right.
night.
Councilman? Councilman, if I might interrupt right now, we do need to take a short break, but I'm hoping that you can stick around and finish that thought. I hate to do
okay.
this to you, but we do need to take care of some things on a certain time schedule.
I understand how that goes. Listen to you on the other side.
Listen to you on the other side. Sounds good. So we'll rejoin you in just a few minutes. Let's go back to the news line, and again, our apologies to City Council Member Don White, who was Don Knight, excuse me, who was explaining the various ins and outs of deliberations regarding carport restrictions, and an important issue for many people who don't have enough garage space to store their cars, and so they want to find some sort of way to protect them from hail damage, from storms. And so, Mr. Knight, sorry about the interruption, but you were telling us about these deliberations that took place last night. Tell us more.
Yeah. So, well, in the case we heard, a lady had a two-car garage, but she has a daughter in a wheelchair, so one of the spots needs to be for the chairlift. So we took a vote last night, and it was 9-0. We are delaying the appeal process until July 13th, so we're taking a six-month break. We're going to go in and look at what are good reasons to have a carport. And we've also asked the executive branch not to enforce any more carports or write any more violation tickets for carports unless it's a health and safety issue. So if you got a carport standing right now that is a benefit to your house, it looks attractive, is clean, is not a lean-to, then you won't get a ticket until council comes in and looks at what our new policy should be. However, if you're blocking line of sight, as we said, I think Wayne Williams said last night, the safety of a young boy or girl walking down the sidewalk when you're trying to back out is more important than protecting your car from hail. So if your carport blocks your visibility to see pedestrians on the sidewalk when you're backing out. 2C is going to just start it up. 2C2 just started up, and we're going into neighborhoods. If your carport is blocking us from being able to fix the concrete or the roads in your neighborhood, we're going to ask you to take it down. But other than that, council is going to take this next 6 months to look at what the rules for carports should be. And we're going to segregate that. The 25-foot setback for pergolas, sheds, everything else will most likely stay in place, though.
Okay. And then final question, Councilman Knight, is that we've been seeing and reporting for the past 2 days how Pueblo County has opened up vaccines to the general public in the older age category, 70 and over. Yet to hear that kind of public vaccination program going on in El Paso County. What do you think about our vaccine delivery success so far? Do you think that it's accomplishing what we really need it to do here in El Paso County?
No, and we we talked about this yesterday. Part of the council member, our council meetings, we break an hour for lunch, and on our Tuesday meetings, the mayors join us, and Bill Murray raised a specific question, council member Bill Murray, and the mayor is, the vaccine program is run by the El Paso County Health Department. It's not a city-run organization, and right now, it's through the two hospitals. And so if you're in one of the two hospitals, either Centura or UC Health database, you get a letter, and you're over 70, you'll get a letter. But if you're not in those databases, you're right. There are no community centers. We have no drive-up for anybody over 70 to be able to just say, hey, drive down here and you can get your vaccine. So it's a concern of city council. It's a concern of the mayor. The mayor is, and Brett Waters is deputy chief of staff, which is a primary point of contact with the health department. We're talking to the county, we're talking to the health department on how we can, you know, do things like Pueblo and other communities are doing. So it's a concern to us. We're working on it. Unfortunately, it's just nothing that we're empowered to implement ourselves.
Okay. All right. Because in some other states, I know they've relied on similar programs and then had doses going unused. So hopefully that's not the case here in El Paso County. We will continue to stay on top of that. And we appreciate your time, Councilmember Don Knight, representing the 1st District in Colorado Springs. And we appreciate your time, sir.
Thank you very much. You guys have a great day.